Lord, and thank you for your word to us through this special place. Thank you for the first time that we saw you this morning. Let us have the joy of understanding that you have us with hunger in your family. Amen. So I want to find worship in your new school. Not that it's like now, necessarily, but we've done this. You can't say. In some places of the world, on this matter, there might be two things to go through. We want to choose a place for them. So we want to collect two things that we want to do in the city where we can have a power of life and death over these. Any of you? And maybe in some things that we want to do a great commercial power, having higher desires to serve God as we start to serve our power. And maybe you're the master or mistress of your own home, the one girl who has power over spending and activities and coming and going. Maybe management. Maybe all you rule is yourself, your spirit of power is you, your assertion is your action. Or maybe in reality, you're not even there, you don't want nothing to do with that. Do any of us have room to lose power? Are we often affected about by the winds of change, the expectations of others, the overwhelming business and noise of life? Power, you say, me, power, power left you at some point in your life. To be much of it, to be faithful to it. Not just for the obviously dying person, but for all of us. The purpose and expectations of the world, the basic needs we have to meet for ourselves and for others, the living of economic reality, and the purpose of time, like a power. So most of us, maybe all of us, would say, me, the reality is that I have not. And let me do. The Apostle John wrote the Gospel that we read today. Living in a world in which power matters, slaves have men, masters and mistresses have power over them. And even if you were to say, you are likely to be one of the powerless masters who could only look on in the barrel of others who are in power to control their lives. There are two ways to look at it. Power over those who need it first of all. The military, politicians, religious power. Power dynamics with a glue that held a hierarchical society together. Some people have power over others, power over the world. Power to command and to do and to hold back. Others must. Into that society and into power, that John speaks a remarkable new truth. He says to every, to the poor, to the disabled, to the hungry, to the outcast, he says to John that they're just for those who are ready to look down. He says that they have something new. They have power. Not the earthly power that they all knew about, but the power to become children of God. And that was not only within their power, but it was their right. Either way, the word right or the word power translates what John is speaking about. So that's the power and the right to become children of God. Usually, both to those with power and those without, to those with right and those without, you have this new thing. Now, the thing about rights and power is that they are of nothing if not used. Your rights to freedom of speech might as well not exist if you never had a sound outside and voice to continue that. Your power to exercise your vote might as well not if
God's blessed opportunity to use it. Our call to the same favor of God, His meaning, that His favor among the stars, there was no God. It can remain the unopened gift, sitting forlornly under the Christmas tree, in the presence of God's church. When John wrote about Jesus, this is what he said. He said, to all who received him, to all who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. Believing in Jesus, receiving in him, is the gateway to power, to becoming a child of God. So why are you this man? What draws interest in our powerlessness, in the confusion of life, in our tiredness, once more to this place, to the very presence in this place of Him who was born this man, to be and live in a world in a society not so very distant from His home, who became flesh and dwelt among us. He has a loving face that John speaks words of peace to spirit. He knew him, knew him personally, knew and loved him. He knew that Jesus had lived with compassion and thought with authority. He knew that the lame had walked, that the blind had regained their sight. He knew even that wind and waves obeyed him. He knew that Jesus had died on the cross and risen again. He knew that after he had died, he had yet again been among them, eating, drinking, talking, walking. He knew that Jesus was no ordinary man. In him, he said, in him was life. And that life was the life of all people. The world, he said, became flesh. And live among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God, God the Son. This one child of God has been joined by many countless children, adopted into the family of God. By believing in the name of Jesus Christ, those who in their powerlessness were given power to become children of God and keep their sons. It's often said by those who do not know the true meaning of Christmas, that it is for the children. Except that, we all do. With gifts and lights to protect us from family, it's obvious. Christmas is for the children to be here. But the piece of truth lies within, since John starts his life for us, we read it year in and year out, time and again. The child of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. He is grace and peace. He comes back to an invitation to us. Believe